Thanks again to everybody that's read. Hope to open the meeting and take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. Particular welcome to any visitors and a huge welcome to any newcomers or people coming back tonight with us. And we hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So thank you. And it falls on me this evening to introduce our speaker. I don't actually know where to begin. This individual rocked into our meetings several years ago and has become an institution in Higna, and I for one love him to bits. I do remember one time I phoned him up and said hi, and I was kind of going past close to where he was, and I phoned him up and said, hi, let's I'll come round and we'll do a meeting together. And he said, oh, I can't do that, I can't get out of the house. And I said, oh, that's okay. And we ran this Saturday meeting from his lounge, and it was really very cool. And he's been of incredible service to Higna. I've done service with him. At one point he said, can we start a particular kind of meeting? I said, yeah, of course, let's go for it. And we did service together doing that. And we all know and love him. So Jim, I'm gonna just say, please share your experience, strength and hope with us. For as long as he's comfortable with you, and the floor is yours, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Oh, my. My name's Jim. I'm a little.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I love you.
I've got emotional right from the word go there. Thank you, Steve. Yes, I'm an addict. I'm 70 years old, 24 years clean, and I'll be, as people know, I've had some medical intrusions, so I'll be eternally grateful for the people who set this group of meetings together. I don't know what I'd do without them, really. I need these online meetings, you know, like flowers need water, you know. I really need them, you know, really need them. So thank you for that. And everybody who does service here, and all you people here, helping me stay clean for another day, so thank you for that too. So yes, a bit of history. I was born in a little cow town up here in the wilds of Greater Manchester, called Inglewhite. It was a small farming community, little village, two roads in and two roads out. So it was a crossroads, wasn't it? I've just realised. No, I don't know whether that's significant, but and as a child, I was just so happy, you know. I had a really happy childhood. My brother and I, 4 years difference. He was my younger brother. I just used to love it, you know. I just used to love it, you know, tearing around on my tricycle and... you know, I was just what I call king happy, you know, like a child. You know, you're kind of full of joy and tearing around and having a fantastic time. And so you're absolutely full of joy. And next you've fallen off your bike, you know, so you're crying your eyes out and running to your mum, you know, sad, you know. A bit like today, really, you know. But I was I was really happy. Happy as Larry, they say. Then I've never known who Larry was. Anyway, up to the age of seven, that was my parents decided to send me to a religious boarding school when I was 8 years old. And this is really where I think my damage started. Disturbance, it talks about disturbance in the basic text, you know, because we don't just stumble into NA, you know, with a bit of a headache, you know. I was sent away to school, and unfortunately, I was abused really badly there for some years until I moved into the senior school when I was 13. But I just got angry. I got really angry and violent, and my big mistake was I misdirected all that anger and resentment towards my parents, you know, which I discovered later on, and I think I'll tell you later on, was, you know, completely wrong, you know. It wasn't they didn't abuse me, you know, simple as. Anyway, I started smoking when I was 11. Started drinking with the senior people when I was 12, and I started smoking marijuana when I was 13. Meanwhile, my father had put me into the Boys Brigade band, which was a kind of honored Christian soldiers style marching band, you know. We used to do gigs at mayor's parades and stuff, you know. We always used to try and get behind the girl guys if we could. And I can remember my mother saying, unlike my little brother, who used to play with farming toys and stuff, I used to crawl into the kitchen and get all the pots and pans out and started walloping them with spoons and stuff, you know. And she said, you were always banging stuff, you know, at the table, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, what kind of happened was I turned my anger into rock and roll. Heard my first rock and roll, Jailhouse Rock, it was by Elvis. And we had it on a 78. An uncle of mine bought it for me, you know. And as soon as I heard that, it just blew me away, you know. So on and on, you know. And because of this massive anger and resentment against my parents, who I came to really realize later, were especially my father. He was just trying to send me to the best education that money could buy, you know. Excuse me. So yeah, I was really angry, and I got some good A levels, French, Spanish, and in English, I remember, which has helped me since. And told my father that I wasn't going to go to college, which is what he wanted, because he was never able to, because he was working for his family. I was going down to London with a rock and roll band, and that was it. And that's exactly what I did. So I went down to, what I had to say is that when I moved into the senior boarding school, I got into a bad, well, I didn't get into a bad crowd. I was the bad crowd, Excuse me. But yeah, I went out to London in 1968, and by then I was using marijuana, speed, all kinds of stuff, And of course, London in 1968, when I went round down, was just, it was druggies paradise, so on and on from there, really. And so to go move forward, I got clean in 1997. So I was using for all that time. And towards the end, of course, it was fun to start with, but towards the end, it was awful, it was really bad. Sorry, excuse me. Lost my track there. Oh, I got clean, but I was still in London, and my father had a nervous breakdown, which I think was part and parcel of me getting clean, actually. And I was coming back up to my hometown, Preston, here, to see him. And I was kind of getting an inkling that, there's something wrong. I had a problem. I was getting the inkling. So the top of my amends lists was a friend of mine said, you need to go to the drug and alcohol services. And the poor student lady who tried to help me there is the top of my amends list now, because I gave a hell, I gave a hell. So I was kind of in and out and in and out. I didn't know kind of what to do. But I was getting the inkling. I had a few what we call in the NA moments of clarity, I started really hating my music, which is, when I realized that, I thought that was when I first started thinking, what the hell is going on? So I moved up to help my father, and made a decision that it was, the alcohol was the problem. That was what was making me violent, So I started going to AA meetings off and on, and I used to sit in these meetings to say, well, my name's Jim and I'm an alcoholic, sniff, sniff, because I was kind of full of cocaine and speed, and eventually this old guy, pulled me to one side, and said, do you mind if I ask you a personal question, Jim? I said, no. Are you on something? So I had to kind of admit to that, and I made him my first sponsor in AA, because I'd heard him talking about tear arsing round Korea, with a bottle of whiskey in one hand and a AK-47 in the other, and I thought, yeah, that'll do for me. I'll have him and my sponsor. But what happened was, old Jerry there, may rest in peace, and a friend of his drove me to 90 meetings in 90 days, in NA, although neither of them were, drug users really, apart from alcohol, of course, which, as we know, is a drug. So I was, I'll be eternally grateful for that, because I met my sponsor there. I've had the same sponsor for 24 years, and the reason why I chose him was, I used to watch him, and he was so calm, I'm talking about a guy now who's well over 40 years clean, but I used to watch him, what I noticed was that he used to pause. He never said anything before he paused, and that just kind of rang true with me, So anyway, I was kind of in and out a lot. What I call my hokey cokey period of time, kind of in, out, in, out, until I take my clean time from when I finally sat down with my sponsor and really started this program. And it, in my humble opinion, this program, doing this program to the best of your ability, as best as you possibly can. I've never met anybody with any serious time that's not gone right the way through the program thoroughly, So that's what I did, and that's what I decided, This, simple 12-step program for complicated people, which we are, So I got down to doing the steps, first of April, 1997, and there we are, One of the things that I noticed about the program straight away is the word "we" is in every step, because this is a we program, NA stands for steps of Pura, never alone. This is a we program. We do this together. So we admitted we were powerless over our addiction and that our lives had become unmanageable. There's the we, and admitted, there's a lot of admitted goes on, I mean, me, I never admitted anything, even in that primary school, it was always, did you throw that? Yeah, no, it wasn't me, I've never admitted anything up until I got into this program. What I've been doing most of my life is, getting away with it, getting away with it. I still can do that. I still can do that. Wait till I get to my your defects, and I'll tell you about that. Excuse me. Need a drink now. And powerless. For me, this step is all about surrender. Giving up. And of course, unmanageability. I mean, I'd gone through two terrible marriages, where I was just nasty, nasty, violent, horrible person. And that's how I came into the program, really. I was I can remember ringing up. My sponsor's called Yoda, by the way, because I used to ring him up, with this, raging at somebody, I was, because I was so angry, raging at somebody in a meeting, that's me, and he'd just say, Jim, hang on, whoa, hang on, is this guy an addict too? And I was, yeah, he's an addict. Oh, bless him, eh? And then he just put the phone down, And I used to think, bless him, bless him. Ah, yes, he's an addict too, And step two, we came to believe. I love that first bit in that. We came to, yeah. We did come to, and we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, I'm not a religious person. I was got at by a religious person, so that's one of the reasons. But the most amazing thing about NA, I think, is that you can sit in any meeting. I don't care, and you've got Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, atheists, Stoics, and it goes on and on and on, And we don't judge anybody for that. That's their part, But that's the most amazing. I was always for searching for. A kind of equilateral, which is a good word, equilateral world, where we all didn't judge each other and treated each other with respect, And I think I've told this story before, but my sponsor took me to a massive European convention in Manchester. Thousands of people there, and I heard this guy share that if All the problems of the world had come on top of his head, and he was about to use. He was on the topic sharing how many people in this room would be by a show of hands willing to help me. And the hands just shot up, you know. I'm talking about, 800 people or so in a room, you know. And my sponsor was sat next to me and just nudged me in the ribs and said, "There you go, Jim. That's a power greater than you." Because I did have a difficulty with it, you know. And step three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. You know, at first I read that completely wrong. I just read, we turned our will and our lives over to God. I don't think so, you know. Read it all wrong. I didn't read, you know, ignorant as I was then. I didn't read the bit that it says, as we understand. And I learnt since through reading a lot of literature in this recovery program that you don't have to understand it even. You know, it's like all those people with a higher power. I can remember my sponsor saying, you know, well, something's brought you here. Something's brought you to me, you know. And on and on from there, I've developed a power greater than me, which I talk to on a daily basis. I've done that a lot today because I've been absolutely, well, I was scared, you know. I don't know why. Sharing, you know. Well, I was scared and obsessed, you know. So I've been talking to my higher power, you know, for wisdom, I think, and courage, of course, you know. So on and on, I discovered, and I think back then what I'd realized was that I needed a power, I needed my higher power to combat the power that narcotics, mind-altering substances had on me. I needed another power, is what I'm saying, you know. And I'm glad that one, two, and three are there, you know, because the next two steps, four and five, you know, we're back to admitting stuff again, and doing fearless moral inventories of ourselves, therefore, you know. And I was writing then, writing in a journal, and I remember I finished three books, three journal books. I was just writing and writing and writing, you know, because, you know, 40 odd years in the rock and roll business, man, you know, I did some very evil things, you know, some very evil things. You know, I was just writing and writing and writing, you know. And my sponsor, he always told me that he would never chase me, but when it got to a kind of year and a half, you know, I was writing this stuff. He did kind of started hinting, you know, are you ready to do step five? Are you ready to do step five? And of course, what I was introduced to then was this word procrastination, you know, which is a two-sided sword, I think. Procrastination, you can put on till tomorrow every fucking thing, and also you don't have to do anything today, in the case of using and relapsing, that's a good thing. I love this program. It's all kind of two-sided, one side, it's kind of balanced, So step five, we have admitted again, and I'd already been through what kind of one, two, three, and so that was I've heard a guy share about foundation, and I had a foundation to be able to do that, and in the end, my sponsor rang me up and said, "Listen, Jim, just come in and do it, man. 9 o'clock Monday, come in." So I did, and it took me a week. It took me a week, and I've never cried so much. He kept telling me to come back. I've never cried so much. I've never laughed so much. At one point, he gave me a sheet of paper and he said, "Okay, you've done all that, that's like the seven deadly sins there, it goes on and on. What are your assets, Jim? Write down your assets on that piece of paper." And he left me. And when he came back, the only thing that I'd written was, "I've got a reasonable sense of humor." That's all I had written, And so he took it up, he took it away from me and wrote loads of assets that he thought I possessed. Honestly, looked me straight in the eye and said, "I really believe you have all these, Powerful stuff, this program, And also, that's the first time in my life that I've ever been honest, open-minded, and willing to admit to my abuse, the abuse that I just abuse people all my life. I just abuse people, places, and things all my life, to admit that was the very first time I ever did that, and I'm here to say now that after I'd done those two steps, I felt fantastic. I really did. And I think that's why I still feel fantastic. That I was able to, what they sing about in gospel songs, I was able to lay my burden down, lay it down. Take me to the river, Wash me in the water, Very powerful thing, but worth doing, So six and seven, step six and step seven, ooh, God removing defects of character. What? It's nothing if not relentless, is it, this program? And then shortcomings, I've heard it said that the saying being at sixes and sevens comes from this program, being at sixes and sevens. The way my sponsor explained this to me was that all that anger and all that resentment that you put, one of my main defects, apart from loads of others. Is when you feel like if somebody's cut you up in a BMW or something, you don't chase them all the way to their houses, knock on the door and baseball bat them, and then baseball bat the car too, because that's a shortcoming. The defect is the anger, but we need to pray that we don't act out and commit a shortcoming, is what that's about for me. That goes back to my watching my sponsor before he used to talk, pause, because he taught me to when I'm in that anger and resentment, put your head on pause. Pause your head, because, put your head on pause. Think of the consequences, Think of the consequences of baseball batting somebody, So that's how I still understand that step, that even if I'm really full of rage, which I can be, try your level best to put your head on pause before you do something that you'll regret, Eight and nine. I talked to my parents before, and I moved in with my parents to help my brother. Sorry, to help my father, who'd had a nervous breakdown, and I looked after him until he died. I also looked after my mother until she died. She got Parkinson's disease. And I looked after my little brother who died, had to have both legs amputated. So making amends. And what I'd realized, excuse me, what I'd realized was all that through doing the program, I'd realized that all the anger and resentment that I had towards them was completely misdirected, And I will be eternally grateful, not only for this program, but that I was able to make amends to my father, because simply he was a lovely man, I found out. Lovely. He was a conscientious objector, peaceful, lovely man. So I'll be eternally grateful that I was able to do that. Step 10. Excuse me. Still smoke, rather. I still suffer from smoking, put it that way. Step 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about, because sometimes I treat my character defects like the BU meters in a recording studio, which go 1 to 10. An 8, 9, and 10 is in the red, So I've got loads of defects, and sometimes they're just in the 1 and 2, or maybe a bit three, you know, but sometimes they get into the 8, 9, and 10 as well, my defects. And this step just allows me, and I do it mostly at night, you know, take a good look at the day and, you know, have I been resentful? Have I been angry? Have I treated people like I want to treat myself? You know, have I helped people? You know, have I been judgmental, intolerant, all that kind of thing, you know, just to kind of feel safe, you know, for you know, you've been wrong, you know, so you know, admitting again, isn't it? You know, holding your hand up, you know, I'm wrong. Step 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. That's so important. It's so important that I do what I do, what I've learned to do in this program. I use the Just for Today reading, you know, the bit that starts, tell yourself, you know, tell yourself, Jim, get a program, you know, tell yourself, get a better perspective on life, you know, talk to other addicts, you know, because they've got the answer to this, you know, and you won't feel afraid, you know. So I need to do all that stuff in the morning, you know, because my disease, cunning, baffling, and powerful that it is, wakes up before me, smacks me on the nose, and asks me how I want my misery. How do you want your misery today, Jim? Well, I've got something that I can combat that with, and that's this simple program. For complicated people, you know. So, step 12. Well, I'm kind of doing that, really. Thank you for asking me to share, you know, because what I've been asking my higher power to do all day is just to help me to help, you know. And of course, my sponsor tells me that, you know, when you get to 12, you just go back to one, Jim. You know, yeah. So thank you ever so much, Ma, for asking me to share. I'm sorry, I'm with my family, so. I'm about to cry, you know. I'm so grateful today. There you go. Share myself grateful again. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for asking me. Thank you.